Okay, see, that's how you know when you're done. Is when your musicians cut you off. You're just, that's how you know when you're done. You know, I was actually enjoying that psalm, especially the line, "Oh Lord, do not remember the sins of my youth." Amen. You know, they are many. Don't remember them of my old age either. But Lord, just in fact, don't remember those things. You know, the good news is that our God has promised. Amen. He is faithful. That He will wash our sins from us. That He will remove them from us as far as the east is from the west. That He will bury them in the deepest sea. All those wonderful things. Isn't that good news? Okay, well, it's really good news, especially when you look at the sermon title for today. Conduct yourselves in fear. And many of you are saying, maybe I should leave now. But anyway, as we go through the morning, we are going to be focusing on our walk here in this world, and that we need to be walking in obedience, seeking and striving to be all that God has made us to be. The truth sometimes hurts, brothers and sisters. It's sometimes a difficult thing, but it's always good for us and will bless us. So please don't leave. Stick around. We'll see what the Lord has for us. As we open this morning from First Samuel 15, verses 21 to 23, I just wanted to share this with you, but I'm reading it from my phone so that you would be reminded to silence yours. So Samuel's talking to King Saul when King Saul comes back. And what's this bleating of sheep that I hear? Okay. "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry." You know, this is the word of the Lord, and it's for us, not just for Saul. We need to remember that our God delights in our obedience, and He blesses our obedience. So let's bow before Him and give this time to Him. Father, we are Your children, and with the psalmist, we ask You not to remember the sins of our youth. Lord, we ask You to forgive us, to pardon us, and Lord, we know that there is a certain amount of contingency even in that request, because You have said that You will forgive us as we forgive others. So Lord, help us. Help us to be a forgiving people. Help us to be a people after Your own heart. Help us to be a people who do walk in great fear and reverence before You, knowing that You are the Almighty God and Your standards are high. Father, help us to walk in holiness because You are holy. And Lord, may we also rejoice in that walk, that You would be glorified through us. Use this time to shape us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. With fear. And I know how much we love that idea. But here's the thing. Fear is not just something that immobilizes. Fear is not something that simply keeps us from becoming or doing. Fear can also be healthy. I have vertigo. Anybody know what vertigo is? Okay, it's a balance problem, right? And where I have it, I don't have it all the time. And sometimes it'll happen. There was a time in my life when Heather actually had to kind of hold me up and walk me into a facility because I could not get there. I had spent all night. My world was spinning. It's a problem with the inner ear. And if you had watched my eyes at that moment in time, they'd have been going back and forth like this, because as far as my mind was concerned, everything was in motion. Everything was moving. And I became dehydrated and all kinds of problems. It was really bad. I have since learned some of the warning signs for me personally that tell me that I'm getting too close to that, that I'm working too hard, that I'm pushing too hard, and I need to step back. Praise God for that. And I have not had to go to urgent care or an emergency room in a long time for that reason. But because of my vertigo, especially if there's things like drop-offs or things where there's uneven terrain, or if there's a steep ledge and water running beside it, oh my goodness, that is not a good place for me to be. There was a time I was down in Ecuador, and it was a marvelous time down there. As we were down in Ecuador helping to build a church, we got to go on a field trip, and we went through the Andes Mountains to a waterfall that was happening. I mean, it was absolutely gorgeous. And there came a part on the trail where there was water running down the trail on this side, and then it was going under a culvert, and there was water running on this side. And the trail was this wide for about 6 feet with water running on both sides of it. This is not a good place for me. But the waterfall was still a half a mile beyond the bridge. And I tried walking across that, and I could not. My world began spinning like crazy. So I got down on my hands and knees, and I crawled across the bridge. I mean, here I am in my 40s. Fairly healthy. I mean, I'm working on a work crew. I'm the strongest one in the crew. Everybody says so. And I'm crawling across this bridge. You see, there are some things you should be afraid of. There are some things that you should conduct yourselves with fear over. Our relationship with God in this world is one of those places where good, healthy fear is necessary, and we should conduct ourselves with fear. Let's look at the text for today. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Now I'm going to pause just briefly, and I'm going to remind you that holiness is as much about allowing God to touch us as it is about how well we get it right. Amen. Holiness comes from the touch of God. Anything that God touches becomes holy. Okay? But I'm not going to let you off the hook. Because as obedient children, we're not to be conformed to the ways of this world. Okay? And we are to seek to live our lives in a way that is pure and holy and acceptable to God. Verse 17. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially each one, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds. You notice that? He judges impartially according to each one's deeds. I know some of you think there is no judgment for those who are in Christ Jesus. This verse says differently. There are lots of verses in Scripture that say different. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's Romans chapter 8. And we want to cling to that. There's no condemnation, but there is judgment. Don't ever forget that, and don't mix the two up. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from a futile way inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. You know, there's a mouthful here, and I was going to read more, but I'm just going to have to come back to this passage again next week. But let's just start with what we have here. We are to conduct ourselves before the Lord, recognizing that he is an impartial judge. He is our Father. He loves us. He has redeemed us. Please hear me well. I do not want you to get a picture from this passage of an angry God sitting in heaven ready to strike you down. That is an unhealthy, bad picture. Our God is a loving Father who is waiting to pick up the hem of his robe and come running to us once we turn from our wicked ways. That's our Father in heaven. He is the prodigal Father, the Father that lavishes his love upon us. But since you call on him as Father, since you have acknowledged that he is your Father, then you need to recognize some things about him. And he is an impartial judge. He judges our lives impartially with perfect justice. He knows all of our limits. He knows all of our faults. He knows all of our disabilities. He knows all of our background. He knows everything about us, and he is impartial in his judgments towards us. And notice, according to each one's deeds. What we do matters. I cannot say that enough. You know, see, the problem is that we have a tendency to presume upon the grace of God. We have a tendency to say, well, God's grace covers all sins. God's grace is greater than all our sins. Amen. Hallelujah. I am so thankful. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't care about what we do. Amen. And that doesn't mean that he won't judge our actions and our deeds done in the flesh, because that's what this passage says. And then it says, conduct yourselves with fear. Conduct. What's it mean to conduct yourself? To manage your conduct, to pay attention to what you're doing. The word for conduct is a Greek word that has the idea of returning again. It's kind of like repentance, only it's different. It's returning again and again. Returning and again and again to something. If we're conducting ourselves in a certain way, we're returning to the same behaviors over and over again. We're walking in a certain set of prescribed behaviors. By the way, those behaviors would be obedience to our God. It would be a desire to be obedient to him. So conduct yourselves. And here the thing that I want you to get is this: yourselves is us as individuals, but it's also us corporately. That we together need to conduct ourselves in a way that is demonstrating the glory of God. And it's in the mix. I mean, yeah, it's actually kind of fairly easy to be loving and to be gracious and to be kind if you're living in a cave by yourself somewhere. I can think positive thoughts about all the people out there all day long. Okay? But in here, where the rubber meets the road, where we're elbow to elbow with fellow sinners, because get it right here, we are saints, yes, by the touch of God, we have been made holy, and therefore we are saints, but we are also sinners. And we fall short. We do not accomplish everything that we should. We do not do everything we should. Sometimes we hurt each other unintentionally. Sometimes we hurt each other intentionally. And there needs to be grace and love and forgiveness among us all, not just in me as an individual. So this conduct isn't just about you as an individual. Oh, I got my act together, all's well. No. You don't have your act all together unless it's all together in relation with everybody else, right, Hassan? That whole reconciliation is the entire thing, not just some, but all. And I got to tell you, some are easier than others. Some are like you, and so their faults and their foibles you resonate with and said, you go. And some are not like you, and their faults and foibles, man, you see them. And they drive you nuts. Conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. What is the time of our exile? Right now. It's here as we walk planet Earth. Remember, this is not our home. We're just a passing through. But I got news for you. What we do here matters. And we're not supposed to be looking for escape clauses to get out of here. Because God knows that heaven and being in an intimate relationship with Him, one-to-one, you know, experiencing Him fully, which we will once we die, He knows that's better than here. And if He wanted you there, you'd be there. The fact that you're here says there's something for you to do, and you're supposed to conduct yourselves in this time with fear, reverence, holy awe for what God, the impartial judge, will have to say about the life that you lived here and now. Are you loving people for Him? Are you forgiving people for Him? Are you offering His grace, His mercy, His redemption? And I got to tell you, I don't always get it right. You know, there was a, I'm assuming, homeless guy out here on the porch yesterday that was making me a little nervous. And I realized I didn't really engage him quite the way I should have. And I was woken up in the night to pray for him. You know, we don't always get it right. And praise God for His grace at that time. But we can't use that grace as an excuse to go treat each other miserably. We have to remember that while we live here on planet Earth, we are supposed to bring God's kingdom to Earth here and now. The great prayer that we have been taught, our Father, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, it's God's desire throughout Scripture that His kingdom would penetrate the kingdoms of earth, that His presence would invade this earth. And His idea, as cracked and flawed as it seems to me, is that He's going to do that through us. Lord, help us. Lord, help this world. You know, Almighty God's plan is to bring His kingdom to bear, His rule, His reign, His presence, His glory to bear through us. Not just me as an individual, not just you as an individual, but through us corporately, that He would shine in among through us, that when people see us, they would see Him. Oh, Lord, help us. Have you ever noticed, did you ever have a job where you had a boss? And have you ever noticed that when the boss would kind of walk through the building, the production line assembly would pick up? Or whatever it was that you were responsible for would pick up? Why is that? It's because we're conducting ourselves with that holy fear. Because we know that person has power over us. Well, brothers and sisters, hear me. That's what I'm talking about in terms of conducting ourselves with holy fear. God is watching. God is present. And God is going to hold us to account. He's going to judge us impartially for what we do while we are exiles here in the flesh. While we are separated from our heavenly home, He has a work for us to do. That work is no less important than making His presence visible here and now. And we do that corporately, not just individually. Now, it takes a whole bunch of individuals choosing to do this. But it also takes a body choosing to say, you know, I'm going to love that person that's different than me. I'm going to do good to them, even when they step on my toes, even when they don't act the way I want them to. Even when I'm hurt by them, I am going to offer love and grace to them. Okay? And I am thankful that we do that a lot. Do you think we could improve? Always. And why? We have been ransomed with a precious, costly gift. Nothing less than our Lord and Savior. Very God, dying for us. Now I'm going to, in this last couple of minutes here, I'm going to throw a big word at you. It's a theological word. And it's a word that describes in a word what I'm trying to say about who we are supposed to be. It's a part of atonement, but it's not all of it, okay? Perichoresis. Perichoresis. I just spoke a foreign language, so if you don't understand it, it's okay. Theologians don't use normal language.
Amen.
Okay. Perichoresis is the indwelling of the Trinity, where Father and Son indwell Son, and that the Son is not fully the Son without the indwelling presence of the Father and the Spirit. Where the Father is not fully the presence of God the Father without the indwelling presence of the Son and the Spirit. That the Spirit is not really the Spirit apart from the indwelling presence of the Son and the Father. That they are constantly in interacting, interwoven harmony. That they are constantly, though separate, distinct beings, they are woven together so completely and so thoroughly that they are completely one. Oh, say that over again. I just said a mouthful, brother. What's that? Oh, the word is perichoresis. You want me to spell it for you? Perichoresis. Okay, perichoresis. Okay, but stop. Here's the deal. Atonement is about the perichoresis of God, the complete interweaving and harmony of God now being present in us, individually and corporately. That we are moving and having our being and reflecting and being, not thinking individually any longer about ourselves, but of the greater whole, the interpenetration of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that we are all a part of one another that way. That is pretty awesome.
Amen.
And that is what the atonement is all about. That is the presence of God making himself known and felt among us. That we move among each other and interact with each other with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit and with God the Father and the Son, because you don't have the Spirit unless you have them as well. You move with them moving through you, and you move towards one another with an acknowledgement that they have that moving in them. Complete unity and harmony, where we're all submitting to God and we're all in harmony with his will. That's what Jesus prayed for in the garden. That's what the impartial judge is going to be looking for in us, his children. Are we being obedient to submit to his will so that he can be revealed in us to that level? And notice he's impartial. So if your mental ability just went, God's got it. He knows you can't hold on to perichoresis. Okay? He's not going to judge you for holding on to that. I should have heard a hallelujah there. But as much as we are able, as we submit to God and to His way and to His will in this walk, we are to become His presence individually and corporately, so that not only does Christ wear my skin, but He's wearing our skin. Okay? And that requires perfect obedience to Him. That requires complete submission of our will to His will. We can't do this on our own. And that's why God the Father sent the Son, to make it possible for us to have the Holy Spirit, the Son sending the Spirit into us. Very God of very God indwelling us and making it possible. Now, we have not arrived. We have a ways to go. But as long as we live on planet Earth, we should conduct ourselves with fear, recognizing that our Father in heaven is going to judge us for our actions and how well we get this done, how well we love, how well we forgive, how well we offer mercy, how well we give of ourselves. That's what He's going to judge us on for our time in exile. And here's the real kicker. Someone else's eternal fate may hinge on whether or not we get this right. Amen. Because they may not see Jesus if we don't reveal Him. And we need to do that. Okay? So we're going to close with a song. What song are we closing with? Oh, Take My Life and Let It Be. Oh, that's a really good song for this. Take My Life and Let It Be. Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. You know, I always want to stop that song. Take My Life and Let It Be. No, you have to go on. Take My Life and Let It Be. Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Completely set apart. Completely given over to God. Completely in submission to Him. So that He could live in you and through you. And if that's your desire today, the altars are open for you to come and say so before God. Okay, whether you're here to give your life to the Lord for the first time, or whether you're just here to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I made a mess of it. And I want to get it right. And I want to change from today on. Whatever you need to do before God, and it can be other things as well. These altars are open as we sing, Take My Life and Let It Be. Please stand. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, just remember what peace is. Shalom. Wholeness. Oh, Father God, as we go from here today, may Your Spirit move in our spirit and through us. May God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit invade each and every one of us, so that the perichoresis of the Father, Son, and Spirit would inhabit each one of us, so that we would move in a similar model, and You would be glorified through us. People would see Jesus. They would experience it. Father, You do it, because we can't. But we're willing to try with Your strength. Amen. God bless you as you go today.